Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have just to open your word. Thank you for the class. Thank you for what you want to accomplish and do through this time. Thank you for moving me out of the way. Father, again, we just want to thank you for all the things that you've allowed to happen to us, because they are your divine appointment to mold us to be more like you. Thank you, Father, for any that is stressing, that is going through difficulties, because, Lord, you are the answer, and so is the church. Show us, Lord, what we can do together that we can never accomplish separately. In your Son, most holy, precious, glorious name, amen. What were some of the things that we learned as we went through these verses as far as Jesus Christ himself and being God? I mean, you cannot get around the fact that not only he said it, but the Bible says over and over and over again that Jesus is God. You see so many arguments, and other religions and other people will tell you that Jesus never said he was God, and the Bible really doesn't say he's God. I mean, if you're going to talk about those verses tonight that we dealt with that I needed to go over and deal with wait to see those. It's one more fantastic apologetical statement of Christ, and then how the Jewish leaders affirm that Jesus said what he said, that he is God. Then we talked about the power of God. He gives life. He is eternal. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, create all things, forgive sin. We're going to talk about forgive sin tonight, and receives worship. I think we got to all of them, then we accept forgive sin. Isn't that right? Now, which one of those attributes, as we talk about Jesus Christ, as we went over in the class last week, which one of those attributes is the only one that can be contradictory if we look at it from the human aspect of logic? All powerful. Okay? More than one can create. More than one can give life. More than one can be eternal. Every one of us that has become believers has proven that fact, that more than one can be eternal. We've talked about more than one can receive worship, because there is three. More than one can forgive sin, but that all-powerful issue, that is a contradiction. In all the attributes of God that I have dealt with and I have studied, two things drive me nuts. One is the all-power of three being all-powerful, being thus, you still have the one. And the other is Christ being omnipresent, yet is going to limit his presence in hell when he condemns man, and still be omnipresent, because God cannot change. Omnipresent means all present, every place. But he's going to limit himself. Now, everyone knows hell is uninhabited right now. No one's in hell. Okay? There will be one in hell 1,000 years, maybe two in hell 1,000 years before anyone else. Anyone know who those two are going to be at the beginning of the millennial kingdom? The Antichrist is going to be the false prophet, right? So that's one. Who is the part of the unholy Trinity? You got Satan, you got the Antichrist, but there has to be another person that's part of the unholy Trinity during the tribulation period, and will exist but won't be on earth during the tribulation period, during the millennial period. Anyone remember? Who is it? It was the false teacher, religious leader, who everyone thought is going to be the Catholics and the Pope. Remember that? Which I don't think is going to be. Yeah, bro. Nope. But why? That's the question. He literally gave that up when he became man. He only didn't know when he was on earth. Because he not only limited himself from being God, he limited his Godship, we should say, not limited himself not to be God, but he was full man, full God, but he limited himself to being in the flesh like you and I. So he limited his knowledge of the future simply because as a man, he had to submit fully like you and I. So when he says, no one knows the time or the hour, at that time he had limited himself to know. See, that's the greatest thing about God. He is all powerful, but he limits himself not to make you saved. Can't hear you. Huh? Talk to me. Is it confusing? He was said to the guys, right? He was teaching when he was on earth in the flesh. No man knows the hour. Before he got his new body. He limited himself in all things when he was on earth. That's why he did not count it equal to be equal with God, but count himself of no reputation by becoming this man. Okay. And then to turn right around and say, I can call. Remember, he limited himself. Even in the garden, even during the crucifixion, what did he limit himself in that? Not to call down the angels. Why? See, true control. I'm going to tell you what true control is. True control is to give up control. Because a lot of us submit to things, not because we want to, but because we have to. But to be able to limit yourself, to have enough power to limit yourself not to use your power, that's true control. And that's what he did when he came in the flesh. Are we having fun yet? Or are you just looking and going, what is he talking about? All right. So he is the giver of life. Who creates all things? Which God? The Son. Limited himself to that role. Holy Spirit limits himself to his role. God the Father limits himself to his role. Because they can all do all roles, they have limited themselves not to move over into others' roles. It'll be good in relationship when we figure that out ourselves. Can't hear you. Wouldn't it be really good when we can learn that I would limit myself as a man in a relationship? Because that's all I am in a relationship. A man. I'm not all things in a relationship. I can be selfish by myself. I don't need a relationship to be selfish. So why do we get so selfish when we get in relationships? If you just want to be selfish, be by yourself. Because relationships weren't made for you to be selfish. God didn't make it that way. We'll be talking about that in May. I think I'm going to do that class in May, so we'll be announcing that. All right? Are we having fun yet? Are we rolling? He goes, this class is so tense. I'm going to miss something. Yes, ma'am. It'll be the false religious leader. So it's an unholy trinity in the Revelation, tribulation period, and, the Antichrist and Satan is going to bushwhack it. When it comes time. Because they are liars. And Satan is going to have his son, like God had his son, to substitute God's point of the son. And the son of Satan is going to come totally for himself, while God's son came totally for you and I. Can I get an amen around here? See, that's going to be smoke. Yes, my brother. Which one is on top of the unholy trinity? All three is represented.
But
in roles. In roles. Why? No, I mean, why? Why would I say that?
They don't have the will to give up the other. They don't have
unholy. Yeah. What was that? Well, none is greater than the other, but it's because of how the trinity works. Holy Spirit being involved with us is not going to emphasize himself. He's going to emphasize who as we relate to one another in relationships. He's going to reflect Christ. And then the minute the Holy Spirit reflects on Christ, Christ is not going to reflect on himself. He's going to reveal the Father. So in the unholy Trinity, the three is in the middle with us because one is not going to stand without the other because that's his role is to reveal the other. When Jesus Christ, the whole thing he said, the whole time he's on the earth was what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But again, if we can just see the Father, can we see God? Jesus said, hey. Then he goes, well, maybe Elijah's coming back. Jesus said, if you believe in me, Elijah's already come back. So. All right, who has a Bible with big letters? Luke 5, everyone got it? Now, this is a smoker set of verses when dealing with forgiveness. And when we finish with this, I want you to tell me the difference of why Jesus answered the Pharisees the way he did. Okay, are we ready? All right, verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, that was who he was teaching, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. Means they were sitting there. Okay, are we rolling? Oh. And the power of the law was present for him to heal the sick. Now, why and when was the power of the law for him to heal the sick not present? When he decided for it not to be. Now, question. Did Jesus need the control of the Spirit when he was in the flesh? Oh, you better say yes, it's true. Because the Holy Spirit's role works with the second part of the Trinity's role, who works with the third part of the Trinity's role, and vice versa. They work together, yet totally independent individuals without ever having an independent thought of the other. Yet could, but wouldn't. So the question I want to ask you right now is this, class. You ready? Did Jesus Christ not sin because he couldn't, or did Jesus Christ not sin because he wouldn't? Jesus Christ would not sin because he couldn't. And if you're controlled by God's Spirit 100%, you couldn't either. Woo! But it's very easy to get out from under the control of the Spirit, because the only thing you got to do is just have one bad thought. Boom. That's why you got to confess, get back under, ask the Spirit to control you. Boom. That's Spirit to breathe. Exhale sin, forgiveness, inhale the forgiveness of God. Just like you breathe, that's how, in and out of God. Just that quick. God breathe, the word on you, you sin, you need the word. The Spirit of God was in the presence and ready to heal the sick, but it doesn't look like there's any sick in the house. Because he's teaching who? Pharisees and the teachers of the law who has come from everywhere to be with a Bible study or a Jesus study, one of the two, correct? Now, look at this. And the power of the law was there present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to go in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. Talk on this one, baby. Now, he said, if I ever get sick, you better be this kind of friend. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of friends that are bringing to the door and say, bro, it's a crowd there, bro. And I got a date. Can't hear you. You know what I'm saying? When you're truly in trouble, a friend come up. You know, bro. And there's a crowd, man. And Jesus, I mean, look at how them people are important in that too, man. They dress like teachers. And that's, bro. You just a sick dude.
Mardi Gras.
Got to take you back home.
Mardi Gras.
What do they do?
The trick knee.
I got a trick knee. I could trip. Now we got another deal. How faithful are the friends who's trying to take their friend to Jesus?
Not very faithful if they're
stopped. If they were stopped, they're not very faithful. Why does these friends do you think is trying to get to Jesus? Because they know that Jesus, if they can get in there, will heal their friend. You know what's so amazing to me? These guys have more faith for their friends than you and I have faith for ourselves. How many of us give up when we think a situation is impossible and God can't come through? Most of the time, we limit God to our faith. We don't limit ourselves to God's power.
That's a mistake.
That's major. So are we flowing? Yeah, bro.
So that's so like, so this, just like in the passion, when Peter's going to die, I'll never be defined. The fact that you can have a big time close.
The cockroach.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent example. All of us trust God when it's easy. Now, we got a question for you.
Why did God pick him?
Which one? About, why did God choose Peter? Because Peter had a habit of open his mouth just to change feet. That you'll get it on the way home. Digging up the choking. Because I can't find a way in. They said, well, bro, hold on. We're going to take you to the roof. Now, you got to understand that the average house in Jesus' time, it was rows of houses. And it was wall to wall together, and it could be 6, 7, 10 houses. And with the roofs on it. Now, they got to get that guy up on the roof. Now, check this out. Now, what if you laying in that bed, and your friend is trying to lift you up? Man, don't you drop me. If you drop me, man, I'm going to be dead. Well, we'll get you to Jesus. You're going to be still in that bed. Which do you want? Now, my question to you is this. What do you think the owner of the house is thinking?
He wished it wasn't his house.
Hey, here you go. Right now, you got all those people pounding somebody's house. Jesus probably didn't ask permission. He has a tendency to just walk in and you kind of say, okay. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I need your house.
I wouldn't argue.
All right. Comes in, and then this whole crowd piles in. Got people all outside trying to look in, and then here come these dudes. Now, just think about it, guys. Think about the pushiness of these guys. Are they so pushy? Well, you're trying to find out where we are? Forgive sin. Luke 5:17. We are down now on verse 21. Oh, excuse me, no. We are up on 20. When they could not find a way in to do this, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Now, see, most of us don't believe the Bible right. We just take it for granted that this just happened. Now, what if it's your house? And all of a sudden, there's dudes walking around on the roof. Now, Jesus is teaching, and there's, you know how the rules are made. Straw, mud. I mean, it's not like today, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, it's still a little rough back in the day. And all of a sudden, there's some dirt. It started trickling down. And Jesus is just still teaching. Come on, boy. Don't give up. Now, if you're one of the Pharisees or the religious leaders, and you hear all this commotion going on, are you a little distracted? Are you a little ticked off? Don't you know we're sitting here trying to get these answers from Jesus, and they're really ticked off because they're probably sitting in there trying to do what with Jesus?
Trapping.
Now, all of a sudden, now I want to ask you a question. You got a friend on a pallet, can't walk, you're going to lower him down through a hole, through the roof, to Jesus. This is not a little hole. Anyone here understand what I'm talking about? Now, if you're the woman of the house, you know you didn't invite the people that's carrying that dude to come through your roof. And all of a sudden, here's Jesus in there. You don't think she's in the back room going, I told you. I told you not to let Jesus in here. He was going to mess up the carpet. But whoa, I didn't know I'm at the roof. You know how many Christians won't have Bible studies at their house?
Too many people
start showing up and mess up the funds and mess up the carpet. Makes people else in the brain juice. Especially if you got white carpet. Just go with brown. Don't have to worry about it being dirty. That's what things that way. Just think about it, guys. What's Shire Cole? They had to cut in this people and not even their roof. That is some boldness. I love this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Can't hear you. What happened there? He definitely didn't say he saw the guy laying there faith. He saw his friend's faith. And the effort that they went through to get into Jesus. And not even worried about being embarrassed. And I guarantee you something else. I bet those friends will say, hey, don't worry about the roof. We will pay for the roof. How? And clean the carpet. I get the dirt out that brown carpet with a brown floor. Now, how many of us in this room believe Jesus enough to bring some of our friends to Christ? So their life can be turned around and would do what it takes to get them there. Most of our efforts to bring others to Christ is on our terms, not what's best for others. Because you can't help half the people you're trying to help. I'm going to give you a little secret that I've come through as a pastor. Because you have to at times, or you run yourself crazy. If Jesus can't turn someone around and they don't listen to what I say, I'm in good company. If Jesus can't convince you, what makes you think I can? Remember, when Moses was out in the desert, 3 million people he had, all of them was complaining. 3 million. That's a whole bunch of, that's a bunch of complaining. You know what Moses said? Who am I? If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be out here with you either. Amen. I wouldn't be out here. I'd be still back there eating leeches and onions. That's what they ate back in Egypt. Oh, God.
Leeches and onions.
He says, God brought me out here to do this job. That's why I'm out here. He wanted me to bring you here. The big Exodus. Let's go. Now, you're out here complaining. You're not complaining against me. You are complaining against God. And as a pastor, if I'm doing God's word, am I living God's word, I am teaching God's word, if someone gets mad, why should I be upset? Especially if they get mad at me. Why am I going to get upset that they're mad at me for doing what God asked me to do? Because if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be doing it. I could care less about you guys. Oh, every Wednesday night coming down here, it is nothing convenient about trying to get here for this class. You know why I know that? Because you guys got to go through a bunch of stuff to get here on Wednesday. And if it wasn't for God, do you think I would be here? Hasta la vista. Would be my motto. I wouldn't even say hasta la vista. Because to say hasta la vista means I got to leave you. And that still made an effort for me to get here so I can leave you. So I wouldn't say hasta la vista. I go, I hope you're having fun down there. Because I ain't going. And that's what you and I got to do when it comes to people. If you're doing what you want to do, you got a right to feel bad when someone rejects you. Because they are rejecting you. But when you're doing it God's way and they reject you, make it like water on a duck's back. It ain't about you. They are rejecting God. And guess who they got to answer to? Can I get an amen from somebody in the house? There's some weak white people in this room. Come on, bro, speak up.
Come on now. It's unheard.
Now check this out. Check this out, man. I love this, man. I love this. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow? It's probably from England. Who's this fellow? Who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God himself? Is this so nasty? Somebody get excited about this beside me. Is this just double nasty? He goes, who can forgive sins but God himself? Now, look what Jesus said. This is what's really scary. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he answered them. You know what? I think I was talking to the staff today and some of the guys Monday. And I asked the question, why didn't Jesus fire all the disciples? Because they failed miserably. And not only did they fail many times, he knew what they were thinking all the time. Now, can you imagine if I had the ability to know everything you were thinking while you were looking at me? I would have to walk around and smack a lot of you. Most of you wouldn't be here because you know I can read your mind, huh? But don't worry, I can read minds long distance. Oh, he said that on 148th Street coming here? Don't he know he's coming to get some Bible? He's thinking like that? Just think, everything, not only their actions did Jesus read and see and feel and know, not only does he see your actions, not only does he see what you're doing, he hears everything you are thinking, and he still wants you to be with him, love him, so he can love you. That, my friends, is amazing. So people go, oh, I'm so bad. Jesus never won't accept me. He already knew that. You hear about the old drunk that was down in, talking about the Mardi Gras in Louisiana? Pastor come by and the drunk was laying over in the gully, man, stinky, drinking, all throw up, man. He said, Pastor! He said, what? He said, pray for me. Pray for me, I need help. So the preacher bent down and says, oh, Jesus, help this degenerate drunkard. And he just started going, the guy goes, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, what do you mean, whoa? He said, man, you tell him all that, he may not help. We always kind of that way. We're so low. And yet, we get all pious in our prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, when you know you are lying, and he knows you're lying, can I get an amen from somebody in the room? And you know, you're thinking about, why am I praying? He ain't done nothing for me lately. I can't hear you. And then, you know, God said, take that Janet Jackson wannabe. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know, me lately, Lord. But you know I love you. You know, these are the words coming out when he's reading the heart. And he's up there going, that's a stinking prayer right there. And yo, Peter, come over here, bring the holy bucket. I want to have a holy throw up on us. You guys don't know how God loves us. But you better learn. I'm going to make sure you learn it in this class. Because he puts up with a lot from us. And still wants to love us. Look at it. I love this. He knew what they were saying, so he answered them. That alone should have known, uh-oh. Can I give an amen? That right there alone should have known, should have told the crowd, y'all just messed up. The boys up on the roof looking down still. It never said they came down. They just said they let him down through the hole. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they see the buddy get up. Woo! Deep! You know? Woo, boy. And they up there high-fiving, giving each other hip flashes. You know it's going to happen. Yay, yeah, wait, right on, baby, right on. Let's go. Now they got five guys that can go pick up a game of basketball. Jerusalem hoop. I mean it. I'm sorry. We should, you know, this Bible stuff, it should be boring. Should be having fun. Should be boring. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Now, what did Christ ask for? Did he talk about their mind? Or did he talk about their heart? Jesus, when Jesus says, I want your heart, he's not talking about this. He's not talking about your emotions. He's talking about your knowledge box. That's the heart of man, where you make your decision. Where you decide to accept or reject Christ. Where you decide to obey or disobey God. That is the heart that Jesus wants. Alright? It has nothing to do with emotions. If you can get this heart, emotions will follow. He said, yeah. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? What did he just say? What did he just say? Now, what did they just say? Only God can forgive sins. Then he turns right around and says, I want you to know that the Son of God, when it is attorney for the Messiah, is God, because I forgave his sin.
But guess who I am?
Well, guess who I am? Guess who I be? It works, right? He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. That's when the boys are getting down up there. Yeah! We did the right. We did the right thing. Now, what if Jesus wouldn't have healed them? Did they still do the right thing? Can you be as excited about Jesus not healing as you can about him healing if he really is your Lord? We should. But we are very disappointed when God don't work our way. And sometimes, you know what he'll do? He won't work our way just so he can let you know who he is. Hey, it happens to all of us. For us. It's not popular for us, yeah. Now check this out. Why would Jesus say, which is easier? To tell him his sins are forgiven? Or take up your pallet and walk?
Which is easier?
Yeah, why would he say that? That's a good answer, but it's more than that. You can't see if someone's sins are forgiven, but you can see if they are healed. Okay? That's the charismatic thinking. Is that not some of the charismatic, our charismatic brothers? The greater the emphasis in the happening, the greater it is that you walk with God. The greater gift that's visible is better than any gift that is just usable. Of course it is. Why would he say what he said?
Make them think about what he's doing.
Make them think about what he's doing? No. See, if they believe, oh, they don't believe. And he knows he's already given up on them in chapter 6. Oh, no, it's chapter 5, isn't it? Okay, that's good. No, but it's more than that. He's going to prove to them they don't believe. No, go ahead, read yours.
Mine says, whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk.
Right.
I have a hard time even understanding.
What he's saying is, which is easier, for me to say your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk and take your pallet with you?
Oh, well, for him, aren't they the same? He can do either one just as easy.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
But why would he say that to them? That's the question.
The easy way out of it, he just forgave you. But if you have to go do, keep working at trying to be better, to get closer to him.
More than that. Now, let me give it to you, because this, we got a lot of information we got to carry, right? You see, to the Jews, if God was against you, you were sick and poor. You was a sinner. That's the Jewish teaching. If you're not rich or healthy, sound like some other modern translations and churches? He says, if you're sick, poor, and unhealthy, it's because God's mad at you, you have sin, and he can't bless you. That's the Jewish mentality. That's what they taught. That's all the leaders taught. So Jesus says your sins are forgiven. So is that no different than saying, get up and walk? Because to the Pharisees and the teachers, they're both the same. So if Jesus says you're healed, he means to the Jewish teaching, your sins are forgiven. So they're sitting there hot about what they believe is the same thing. But when they say, your sins are forgiven, they know that only God can forgive sin and then you can get healing. But Jesus comes along and does it simultaneously. Because you know, God is able to do that. So right now their mouth is like, but they can't say a word. He said, if I can heal them, you just put that on God. But if I forgive their sins, which you think is the same, you're going to have to call me God. He's forcing them to make a decision. What is the decision? What is the decision? What is the decision that they got to make? What is the decision they got to make? They got to accept Christ. They got to submit to Jesus. And that is what they never did.
Ever?
Not even then? Ever. Nope. Watch this. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, went home praising God, and if I was you, I would be thanking my friends too. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today, but never believed in Christ. Let me give you a secret. You know how many Christians can believe what Jesus says? I shouldn't say Christians. People. There are a lot of people that can believe what Jesus says, but never believe in Jesus. There's a lot of us that believe in Jesus, God, but don't believe what he says. Only difference between the latter is you're saved.
That's a biggie, though.
We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks and on Sunday morning. The difference. Huh? Any questions before I move on? So, which one? Oh, a person that can believe in Jesus, but not what he says, is a person that can be a Christian because he believes in Christ, but he never grows because he doesn't believe in his word. But there's others that will believe in his word, good teaching. He was a great teacher. Jesus was a great man, but they won't believe in Christ and he's God, so they're not saved. Okay? I don't know. What religion is that way? The majority of them, but that really believes that Jesus is the Son of God, but isn't God. Jehovah Witnesses. Yeah, bro. They are the conservative Jewish leaders. Sadducees was the liberal Jewish leader, teachers of the day. Okay?
Now,
which one do you think was in control at the time that Jesus was walking on the earth? The liberals or the conservatives? No, the liberals. Yeah. the liberals. Anytime the liberals have been in charge in the United States for a long period of time, we've ended up in a world war. Because they'll give away the farm to keep peace. Yeah. Many of them are Levites. Many are Levites. Because there was the holy sect, the priesthood. Not all. Yeah. Scribes was the one that would take and write the scriptures down for the Pharisees and Sadducees and the people who was rich, who had money, to pay them to write the scriptures. Okay? So we look at the Son of God, we look at Jesus, we look at his all of his power. This is just smoking stuff, isn't it? Huh? Not Jesus is something else, guys. He is a simple smoker. Okay, now that's quick. Thank you very much. I tell you, we do. Let's look at the personal claims of Jesus. Alright? You guys gonna have to get back on your hoof. Read these verses for me. I and the Father, 1 John 10:30. Believe also in me, John 14:1. Lord of the Sabbath, Matthew 12:8. Who'll read John 10:30 for me? All right, bro. You take John 14:1, and who will read 12:8, Matthew 12, okay? Let's look at these. These are the personal claims of Jesus Christ. Now, this is stuff that when Jesus lays it out, guys, you got to understand that the second person of the Trinity is the reason why you and I can go to the very throne of God. We're going to talk about that when we deal with prayer, how to pray correctly, and who do you pray to when you pray. Okay? John 10:30. Wow, that was a tough verse to look up, huh? What does it mean, I and the Father are one? We're not separate. Does that mean that he is the Son of God, but he's not God? Now, see, that's what people that will explain it often. You got to check out the essence and role. When he says, I and the Father are one, is he talking about role? He's talking about essence. Essence. Most people that try to make him the Son of God but not God talks about role. And then they add on to, when they can separate the role, then they add the definition of the role to his essence, which eliminates them from being believers. Man wants his own way. Man wants his own way. Sometimes we get educated beyond our own intelligence, yes. That's not tough for us. We all do it. If Jesus and the Father is one, then Jesus lays out some heavy duty stuff in John chapter 5. I stole your Bible, didn't I? In John chapter 5, Jesus spills some glory from the Pharisees and Sadducees. Anyone know what miracle takes place in John 5? Remember the impotent man is laying on his pallet by the pool, and he's waiting for the angel to disturb the water so he could be the first to get in to be healed? That was a wise fable tale at that time. That was nothing. You know, a practical joker could cause some serious problems, couldn't he? You know what I'm saying? All these people laying by the pool, and you walk by with a little rock. All the people get in the pool. Anyone know how big those pools were? Matthew, you remember how big the pools were? The pool of Bethesda? Huge. You could shut this building down off in the pool. It was just huge. So there was thousands upon thousands of people that were surrounding these pools every day waiting for the angel to disturb the water. Deep. I mean, you could walk 3 or 4 floors down to the bottom of those pools. It was just deep pools. How many people did Jesus heal at that pool when there was thousands? One. That's it. That's all he needed to do to get his message over. Isn't that something? Why does Jesus move on one person and not another? Why does he can sell a house real quick in one place and 6 months at another? It's what the people need. It's how he works. What's going to bring them closer to him? It's what he's going to do. Deborah. Oh, just hundreds would get in. It was absolutely amazing. Now check out what Jesus says to him before we're going to get to the verses I want you to read. Jesus says, do you want to be healed? Remember what he said back to Jesus? What was that? More. He said, what? He says, I don't have anyone to help me. Is that what Jesus asked? Jesus, do you want to be healed? He said, what? I don't have nobody to put me in there. That's not what Jesus asked. If Jesus would have asked, how come you ain't got in the pool? Then, I don't have anyone to pat me in there would have been a correct answer. But Jesus said, do you want to be healed?
Yeah.
Jesus wanted to say, but yeah. But the first thing he says is, excuse. He gave an excuse. You know what an excuse is, folks? Skin of a reason, stuffed with a lie. That's an excuse. And we're good at that. Skin of a reason, and we stuff it with lies. Come up with any excuse we want to for why we don't do what we're supposed to and why we're doing what we're not supposed to do. We can come up with good excuses. Can I get an amen from somebody in this place? Someone says, I ain't saying amen to that. That's right. I ain't going to say amen. Now check out this. Soon as he gets through dealing with the guy, he tells him, get up, pick up your bed, and leave. Same thing he just finished with the guy that they let down through the roof. After he healed him, what did he say to him? Pick up your bed. Why would he say pick up your bed? To both of them. What was it? What'd you think, Matt? Tell me what you just said. That's right. He says, hey, pick up any reason that'll make you lay back down. In other words, when you confess your sins to Jesus, he says, eliminate the things that'll make you go back into it. Alright? That's exactly what he's saying. But what we do, we'll get forgiveness for God and then go right back to the same sin. We're good Catholic. I can confess Sunday, live like the devil, Monday through Saturday. That's not true confession with God. So when he gets through with that whole thing, he turns around and he says this statement. Just smoking statement. They got mad at him because he healed this guy on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. God says, what I see my Father does, that's what I do. Father created everything in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. What did Jesus just say? He didn't quit working. He just rested. Why do we know God did not stop working on the seventh day? He took rest from creating. But he worked. What did he do on the seventh day? In the pool. He held everything together that he had created. For 6 days he made it. The seventh day he put it into motion. You're going to stay this way. And he held it together. So Jesus said, when my Father works, I have to work. Because on the Sabbath, I work on the Sabbath when my Father works. Because the Father and I are one. What he does, I do. What he says, I say. Perfect, total submission in his role. Not thinking he's less in his role because he's equal with God in his essence. Thus, he is just as equal with God in his role because he gets all of his self-image from his essence. Not what he does. Huh? And let me tell you this. And when he says this, he's letting everybody know, I am God of God, all God, nothing less, nothing more, I am God. Next verse. John 14:1. Wait a minute here. Then let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. You know that'd be something to say, wouldn't it? Some people argue, well, he's not saying he's God. But what do you think he's saying when he says you can trust in God and you can trust in? What is that saying up here? Is that a reiteration of this? There's no difference who you're going to believe in. Believe in God, believe in Jesus. There's no difference. In essence. But when you pray, you can only pray according to their roles. We're going to talk about that. I see you guys just, tear me down. No. I told you now, you don't have no need to come back. You have all the power you ever need in your life. Just kidding. Matthew 12:8.
For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
When we looked at Luke, when we looked at that Luke 5 chapter, he said the Son of Man was who? The Son of Man can forgive sin. Who did he call himself? God. Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Who is the only one that's over the Sabbath? What is Jesus saying to everybody? I am God. Folks, don't you ever let someone tell you for the rest of your life, whether you walk with God or not, that will be up to you and the Holy Spirit and God if you walk with him the rest of your life. But do you never let anyone tell you Jesus never said that he was God. Y'all did it. You guys did it. Uh-oh. Ooh. I like it, like it, like it. Yeah, bro.
So, man, I want to get back to this study thing. Is that why I don't understand how the staff is free? Because it's one of the things that they leave. They get up on Sunday. And the same claim that people will die.
Don't have to be the Catholic priest. You can go to any pastor.
Well, I know. I'm just using the example because it comes from off the list.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot that don't believe. It's just a job.
Yeah.
I get paid for this job.
Sort of like when I
yeah, that's hiring. See, that, you got a lot of hirelings that's in the pool. You got a lot of pastors that believe in Christ, don't understand anything about the power of Christ. You got a lot of Christians. You got a lot of non-Christians that act better than most Christians. The only difference is one is going to heaven and saved, and the other didn't. Now, we may say that isn't fair. Let me give you a little example to help you out on this. What's your first name again, bro?
Sean,
okay. And what's your first name?
Petra.
Petra? Oh, I like Sean Petra. Yep, okay, Sean and Petra. Now, Sean, check this out, bro. You are born in a multi-billionaire family. Use United Nations. I'm there, bro. I mean, you got more money than Van Camp got poking beans. Long green, you know what I'm saying? Your wallet, what is it, so thick, you got signals on it. Let people know it's coming, you know what I'm saying? Oversized load, boy. But he gets into drugs. So his parents pulls all of his money away from him. You're hanging out in school. You're the only child, only family, your mom and dad. Petra, you befriend Sean. Love the Lord. Walk with him. You come every time Sean gets in trouble. He can't call his folks. You come, you bail him out. You get him out of jail. You get some friends around. You get him sober back. You get him back in class. I mean, just over and over and over. You sold your stereo to, you know, to pay bail for this guy because his folks find out, man, they're going to put him upside down in jail for a long time. I mean, long. Now, Petra, you're always trying to protect Sean. Sean always get in trouble. His parents go off for a trip. Got a private jet. Dallas got a G5. Master jet. Takes off. Something goes wrong. Bam! Plane crash. They got one person on the wheel. Guess who it is? Sean. All that money is going to come to Sean. Now, what do you think Sean's probably going to do? He's going to spend it and probably end up killing himself. He's going to overdose. Now, wouldn't Petra do much better with that money? Don't you think? And when she, even if she got the money, do you think she would turn her back on Sean? She would help him and help him the right way. Right? So my question is, why doesn't Petra get the money? Because she's much better than Sean is. What's that? She doesn't belong to the parent. She doesn't get the inheritance. Let me give you a little secret about being a Christian. It isn't based upon how good you are. It's based on being in the family. And you get the inheritance. Now, the only difference is, dad, know every move you make and knows how to discipline you. She's a great person. She'll do much better, more with the money, knowing she's been better than Sean the whole time. The only difference is Sean in the family. You know what we do a lot of times? We try to base on what people do. If you're not in the family of God, I don't care how good you are, you don't get the inheritance. And it doesn't matter how bad you are. If you're in the family, you're going to get the inheritance of eternal life. You know why? Because God's going to discipline you when you don't walk with Him. And when you don't decide, when you decide, I'm never going to walk with Him, God says, I got the power to bring you home. Come on up here. Mike.
That goes on the hand while I was. What
he was
saying,
all sins the same to God. It's all bad. It doesn't matter what you do down here.
No. Right?
Right. Yeah. They call me. I'll be there.
What's
that? What's the guy say? God says sin is sin? He says, okay. You and I, if we swim to Hawaii, we can be saved. Okay? We swim from Seattle to Hawaii. Whoever gets to Hawaii is going to be saved. I start swimming, dive off the pier, 100 yards out from the pier. I cramp up because I'm an old dude, and I die, drown right there. You swim all the way to Hawaii, gets to 50 feet from the beach. You cramp up and die. Which one of us made it?
Who cares?
Right. Jesus said, you can have your finger right there. Oops. You didn't make it. Whether you're short or you're long, whether it's a big sin, a small sin, every one of them, because God demands total righteousness and it only comes through Him, you judge. Pretty simple. We want to make sure we're in the family. That's what we want to make. Money or no money. Be in the family, baby. Yeah. In just a second. All right. Just a second. Who's got Romans? Yes. Maybe you're asleep. I hope I didn't miss anything. Did I miss anything? We did that last week. Then we came back just to finish the... No, ma'am. But we did do it last week. Where were you then? You're not only asleep tonight, you've been asleep for a week. We need to pray for the girl. All right? Okay, who would read Romans 5:8 for me? Oh, okay. Who will read 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5? Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. Got that, bro? All right. Which one? Who? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. The Sabbath? Sabbath is Saturday. Yes. Because we're not Jewish. Seventh-day Adventists are still holding on to the old. Right? When Jesus came along, I preached that. Well, I didn't preach. I spoke. At a Seventh-day Adventist school, they asked me to come and speak because they liked me across the street. You know what I spoke on? You can't put new wine in old wineskin. The parable of the old, when they made wine in the old days, when they put new wine in, because it's going to ferment and expand, they had to put it in new wines in animal skins. Because the new skins could do what? They was alive. They could stretch with the wine. But if you put new wine in old wine skins that have been stretched, it'll bust it. And all the wine is lost. And so God is saying, you can't take the Old Testament, the way you used to do things, and try to put it in the New Testament. You can't put the old and the new together. You either in the New Testament where you're saved, or you got to keep the whole law. So that's why the Seventh-day Adventist messed up. Now, let me tell you why. You ready? Pretty simple. You want the elaborate doctrinal way, or you want me to just lay it on you quick? All right, let me put it on you real simple. When did Jesus die? What day? Of the week. What day of the week? Now, everyone said Friday. We know he died on Thursday. Okay? He had to die on Thursday. Why? It's the only way you're going to get 3 days. I mean, 3 nights. You can get 3 days, but you can't get 3 nights out of Friday. He was in the grave 3 days, 3 nights. Okay? So we know he's probably crucified on Thursday. Sabbath's coming around on Friday. Then that Friday night. Then that Saturday night. When was he raised? Sunday morning. First day of the week. Sabbath was the last day of the week. The Old Testament. You end your week with just burden. Jesus comes along. He dies and is raised on the first day of the week, which is Sunday now. Now when God tells you, bring your offerings when? Last day of the week or the first day of the week? First day of the week. See, he answered the Old Testament law and answered the Sabbath. Thus, it isn't at the end anymore because you're working with all your efforts to be right with God, and then you get that to that last part of the day and you kind of, and God says, now I rose on Sunday. Now the day of worship really is any day of the week, but it's the first day because every time Jesus appeared, he always appeared on the first day of the week after he was resurrected. And that told the church that you would come and join me when? First day of the week. Never anymore on the last day of the week. The Sabbath meant the law. Sunday means grace. Okay? Hopefully that helped. If it didn't, too bad, because we got to rush. Okay? Man, we got to go quick. About 5 minutes? That 5 minutes? Okay. Romans 5:8. Who's got that? You got it, sister? Okay. While we was yet sinners, Christ died. This section makes it so much easier in this class because we just witnessed the passion. If you haven't seen the passion yet, go sit. Raised for our victory. Any of the religious leaders said they died for their followers. Only one rose again. Seen by 500 witnesses at once. Eyewitnesses. Can you imagine going to court when someone has condemned you and said you did something, but you got 500 eyewitnesses to prove you didn't, would you go into court pretty happy with some serious confidence? I would go if I had two. But 500 saw him at one time to prove he actually and did resurrect. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Jesus Christ says, I died for your sins. Now listen to this. I died to pay for your sins. I rose again to lock into it. Okay? The resurrection gives you eternal forgiveness on what dying you accepted does for you. Dying pays for it. Coming alive again locks you into it. Have we got a God or do we have a God? Now check this out. 1 Corinthians 15. Christ says, look, I'm not only going to be raised from the dead, and when I rose again, that wasn't all I did for you. When I rose again, I am an eyewitness that you have accepted me, and if anyone tried to condemn you, including the enemy, I just look up and say, Abba means daddy. That she's mad, he's mad. Oh! So a dead prophet, he's just what? Speak for me. Get some life in them dead bones. But Jesus, where is Jesus? Right hand of God saying, oh, I paid for him. I paid for her. I paid for him. I paid for her. I paid for him. Oh, I didn't pay for you. You didn't make the cut. Elevator. Now check this out. Now this was double nasty. Guys, how many of you ever asked for someone to pray for you? You ever asked for someone to pray for you? We've all asked for someone to pray for. Check this out. Jesus rose again so he can pray for you. Anyone ever had or seen any Jesus prayer not answered? Somebody tried to use the garden, but that is, we'll blow that out the water next week. Hebrews 4. 14 through 16, someone real quick will read that for me. Hand. Okay, in the back. And 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Sister? Okay? 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Listen real good now.
Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, by the full permanency of grace, we possess. But we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses.
But we have one who is intended in every way, let us persevere as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Anyone know what intercessing means? It means not just praying. It means getting in your place. And whatever needs to happen to that person in order for you to get your prayers answered, may God do it. God says, in order for you to get salvation, the intercessor Jesus Christ got in our place, died for us, and now prays for us because we got a great high priest who knows what it means not to ever die again or fail again or not be heard again. The pastor can pray with you and pray for you, but Jesus. Ah. when he prayed for you, it's done. Can I get an amen somewhere? Woo! I mean, Daddy, Abba, I prayed for him. I prayed for her. I'm praying for him. I'm praying for her. And when I pray, you know it's going to happen. Advocate, 1 John 2, 1 2. So check this out. That kind of eliminates the five-point Calvinists. I mean, they believe in limited atonement. He only died for those that will accept. Now, that verse said he died for who? You got the hood. Huh? Now, check this out. This was so cold. It was so cold. Now, I can pray for you. Amen? I can pray for you. But I don't have the power to be your advocate. I can pray, God, please, give him lots of money, please. Because if you give him lots of money, he may be good enough to pay me. So even my intercessory can be selfish. But what if God says, well, why should I do that? Well, you know, I'm praying. I can't be your advocate. I can be your intercessor. But Jesus Christ can pray for you. And then he can step into the role of advocate. And because he's asking, and because he's righteous, it has to happen. Do we have a Savior or what? Just say, or what? That's what I'm talking about, Jack. That's Jesus, baby. Jesus. Woo. I love myself in Jesus. I hope y'all know that. And I'm not gay. I love a man, but it's okay biblically. Because the man is Jesus. Maybe I should say that tomorrow on TV. That'll throw them all, one. I'm down here because I'm in love with a man. I just want to tell the world I'm in love with a man. Jesus. That'll fix them up, wouldn't it? Boy, they really want to hang with him. I can't say that until I get my gates fixed at the house. the guy called me, he saw me on TV the other day, the guy that fixes my gates in front of the house. He says, he called me up and says, you know, I've been meaning to put that new motor in there. Because one side works, the other doesn't. And I can't let my dogs out, really, because if the gates are open, you know, won't close, people drive up, and these dogs will be going, oh, and they try to get out anyway. So I got to keep my dogs locked up a lot, you know. So he called me and says, hey, Hutch, yes, I'm coming over to fix your gates. You need your gates fixed, boy. I said, thanks, bro, I appreciate it. So when I get my gates fixed, I'm going to be real bold. Yeah, right. What's that? No, it's just that, it's been that way with me for how long now? You know, the last 3 weeks, there's almost every day there's something. Well, finally, the other pastors have said they're going to put this thing together down at the courthouse. So they asked me to come, so I'm going to go down. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for talking about Jesus. Whew, nothing better than talking about Jesus. Lord, it is just that he is our Savior, our Lord. He is the one that died for us. He is the one that the Holy Spirit comes in our lives when we'll start next week to talk about who he reveals. Why he reveals. And Father, I just thank you so much for Jesus, who shows us the Father, who got on that cross for us, who shed his blood, righteous blood, and Father, who not only died for us, but rose again, truly to be the intercessor, to step in our place and pray for us. And then Father, after giving that prayer, step up and say, I am the reason you need to answer that prayer, Father. He is our advocate. Father, thank you for a Savior like that. In your Son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we pray. Amen.